Britain's former Prime Minister Boris Johnson has come out publicly and said that if NATO and the Western powers lose the proxy war in Ukraine, it will mean the end of Western hegemony.
If Ukraine falls, it will be a catastrophe for the West. It will be the end of Western hegemony.
Boris Johnson wrote this in a column at the Daily Mail, which is a right-wing tabloid in the UK. Of course, for people who don't know, Boris Johnson was the former Prime Minister of the UK. He was also the mayor of the City of London, and he was the head of the Conservative Party. And he has a column at the Daily Mail in which he constantly condemns Western boogeymen like China and Russia and demands more military support for Ukraine. And in this column that was published on the 12th of April, Boris Johnson wrote that if Ukraine falls, quote, it will be a total humiliation for the West. He made it clear that this is not just a war between Ukraine and Russia. It's a proxy war between the West and Russia, NATO and Russia. And he said that if Ukraine loses, it will be a massive loss to NATO as a whole, saying it will be the first time in the 75 years of NATO's existence that this hitherto successful alliance has been utterly routed. And again, this is an acknowledgement that this is a proxy war, which many people in the West have denied. Well, he's saying it very openly. And then Boris Johnson wrote, this is the money quote in the article, if Ukraine loses, quote, it will be a turning point in history, the moment when the West finally loses its post-war hegemony. And he warned that this could also be a message to China. And that's why he's been threatening a war over Taiwan in addition to the war in Ukraine. Boris Johnson also published a video that accompanied this article. And in that video, he said the same thing. If the West loses in Ukraine, it will be the end of Western hegemony. Here's that clip.
Why the hell are we being so slow in giving those heroic Ukrainians the weapons they so desperately need? Because if Ukraine falls, it will be a catastrophe for the West. It will be the end of Western hegemony, and we will have no one to blame but ourselves. Read my column.
This is quite ironic in several ways, because first of all, many Western pundits and politicians have said for years that it's Russian propaganda to say that the war in Ukraine is a proxy war. This is a war by evil cartoon villain Vladimir Putin, who just hates Ukrainians and invaded because he's evil and just wants to kill people. That's the Western narrative. And those of us who have pointed out for years that NATO bears significant responsibility for causing this war, for expanding up to Russia's borders, for repeatedly ignoring requests by Russia to give written security guarantees, this very aggressive campaign led by the US to surround Russia militarily and threaten Russia backfired and led to this horrific war in which large numbers of Ukrainians are dying and the West is continuing to fuel this proxy war. And meanwhile, here you have Boris Johnson coming out publicly and saying, well, this is actually a war to save Western hegemony. This also explains why Boris Johnson did everything he could to prevent peace and to kill peace talks between Russia and Ukraine back when he was prime minister and since he left office. In fact, the Ukrainian media has reported that Boris Johnson played a key role in pressuring Ukraine to oppose any peace talks with Russia. This was reported by Ukrainska Pravda, which is one of the main newspapers in Ukraine. It is vehemently anti-Russian. It is not pro-Russian in any way. It is essentially a state media outlet in Ukraine. Since the war began, it has simply just regurgitated everything that the Ukrainian government says. And back in May of 2022, it published a very interesting article titled "Possibility of Talks Between Zelensky and Putin Came to a Halt After Johnson's Visit." It noted that in early 2022, just a few weeks after the Russian invasion, Russia wanted to sign a peace deal, and Russian President Putin wanted to meet with Zelensky in order to have this peace deal. However, the article reveals, again, this is in a major Ukrainian newspaper, that British Prime Minister Boris Johnson traveled to Kiev almost without warning, and he brought two simple messages. One, The West said that Putin is a war criminal and should be pressured, not negotiated with. So the West opposed Ukraine signing a peace deal. And number two, even if Ukraine is ready to sign some agreements on guarantees with Putin, they are not. This article pointed out that the collective West now felt that Putin was not really as powerful as they had previously imagined, and this was a chance to press him. So the West did not want a peace deal. Boris Johnson was acting on behalf of the West, of course, led by the United States, and the British government never does anything very important internationally without approval from the US. And here we see very clearly that Boris Johnson was sent to kill any possibility of peace, to destroy the possibility of peace talks. And this article notes that 3 days after Boris Johnson left Kiev, Putin went public and said talks with Ukraine, quote, had turned into a dead end. And that was not the only report. There was a similar report published in 2023, also in the Ukrainian newspaper Ukrainska Pravda, that is titled, Head of Ukraine's Leading Party Claims Russia Proposed Peace in Exchange for Neutrality. This article in English, it mentions a Ukrainian language interview that was done by David Arakhamia, who is the leader of the Servant of the People faction, that is the political party of Ukraine's Western-backed leader, Volodymyr Zelensky. And he said that in 2022, when Ukraine met with Russia and there were peace talks, first that were held in Turkey and then were held in Belarus, he revealed, this is a close ally of Zelensky, he revealed that the Russian delegation promised Kiev peace in exchange for refusing to join NATO. And this report revealed that at a meeting with an African delegation, Vladimir Putin showed a ready-made draft peace agreement with Ukraine that had been agreed to previously during the negotiations with Ukraine in Turkey and in Belarus. And then in response to this, the top Ukrainian official Arakhamia said, speaking of Russia, quote, they really hoped almost the last moment that they would force us to sign such an agreement so that we would take neutrality. It was the most important thing for them, for Russia, that is. He said, Russia was prepared to end the war if we agreed to, as Finland once did, neutrality and committed that we would not join NATO. However, he pointed out that when the Ukrainian delegation returned from the peace talks in Istanbul, Boris Johnson came to Kiev and said that we would not sign anything with them at all, and instead, let's fight. So here we have another piece of evidence from a top Ukrainian official acknowledging that Boris Johnson and his Western allies opposed any peace talks and wanted the war to continue. And Boris Johnson said it publicly in his article in the Daily Mail. The reason for this is the West wants to maintain its imperial hegemony. And Boris Johnson is by no means the only Western official who is concerned about the decline of Western hegemony. In fact, I recently did a report, which I will link to in the description below, in which I looked at the comments that were made by the EU's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, and he acknowledged in an article that Western dominance has ended. Borrell wrote this in an article that was published at the website of the Diplomatic Service of the European Union back in February. Borrell revealed that the European Union is very concerned about how its relations with the Global South have been worsening over time, and he said that the EU must do whatever it can to prevent geopolitical tensions from evolving in the direction of the West against the rest, and he said, because if this happens, quote, Europe's future risks to be bleak. And then he admitted, this is an incredible admission, quote, the era of Western dominance has indeed definitively ended. And he says the combination of the war in Ukraine and also the war in Gaza has significantly increased the risk of the West against the rest, making Europe essentially irrelevant. And he said, many in the global South accuse us of double standards. This is also deeply ironic coming from Josep Borrell, because back in 2022, when this new phase of the war in Ukraine started, he gave this incredibly racist speech in which Burrell warned that the West is the beautiful garden, but it's being taken over by the barbaric jungle of the countries outside of the West in the global South. And he later gave a half-hearted apology, saying that he regretted saying garden and jungle because it's obviously very racist, but he actually still did not apologize for the comments that he made. So it wasn't actually a heartfelt apology. And it shows the double standards of these Western officials who admit that Western hegemony is in decline, but they cannot give up their hegemonic mentality, this neo-colonial worldview that they have, where the West is the enlightened garden and everyone else is in the barbaric jungle, and the West has to civilize the world by waging war and recolonizing them. The war in Ukraine has really been a wake-up call for the West on many fronts. In fact, back in 2022, Newsweek published an article titled, "Nearly 90% of the world is not following us on Ukraine." And this article was written by two former U.S. ambassadors, top officials from the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon, and they acknowledge in this article that when it comes to the war in Ukraine, 87% of the world's population has not been following the West. This is a map showing which governments have imposed sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine. And it, you can see it's just the West and a bunch of U.S. client regimes. Now, I should point out that they have Taiwan on this list. Taiwan is not a country. Taiwan is part of China. But the authorities on Taiwan Island in China's Taiwan province, which are right now very pro-West and very against the mainland, these, you know, pro-Western puppets, essentially, from the DPP party, they have imposed sanctions on Russia, but excluding them, Japan and South Korea, which are militarily occupied by the U.S., all of the other governments that have imposed sanctions on Russia are the West. I mean, this is a map showing the collective West, as it's known. It's the U.S., Canada, Western Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. So this is about 13% of the world population. They claim to represent the entire world. They talk about their so-called rules-based order, but the 87% of the world population in the global South has not joined them in the proxy war against Russia. Most countries in the world are neutral. The vast majority are neutral. But instead of accepting the decline of Western hegemony and trying to live more peacefully with the rest of the world, what we see is that the West is doubling down, and now there are many calls for Europe to send troops to Ukraine to join directly in the war against Russia, to turn the proxy war into a direct war against Russia. This was called for in an article published in Foreign Affairs, one of the most influential magazines in the West. This is the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the most powerful think tanks in the US. And in this article, they published this April, they point out that France's president, Emmanuel Macron, said the deployment of European forces to Ukraine could not be ruled out. The article notes that other European officials have joined in calling for sending troops to Ukraine, including the defense minister of Finland and the foreign minister of Poland. They have suggested that they will send troops to Ukraine. And in the Baltic states, there are calls for sending troops to Ukraine. And this article says that European countries, quote, must seriously contemplate deploying troops to Ukraine to provide logistical support and training to protect Ukraine's borders and critical infrastructure, and even to defend Ukrainian cities. Now, the irony of this article is it was actually not Ukrainian officials who wrote this. It was actually three North Americans. One of the co-authors is a retired U.S. Army colonel. Another is a current lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. And another teaches at a university in Scotland, but in reality, he's also North American. So here we see three people from the U.S., these three war hawks, who are calling on Europeans to send their troops to Ukraine to try to preserve Western hegemony. And by the way, I should point out that there already are Western troops in Ukraine. They're not a lot of troops, but they are there. And this was revealed by Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who admitted that the UK and France have troops on the ground in Ukraine that are helping to direct Ukrainian attacks against Russia. And the BBC revealed in 2023 as well that there are multiple Western special operations forces on the ground in Ukraine from the UK, the US, the Netherlands, Latvia, and France. There aren't a lot, but again, they already are there. And ABC News also confirmed this, citing separate sources revealing that the US has special operations forces on the ground in Ukraine, and they are operating out of Washington's embassy in Kiev. And meanwhile, as Western militaries get more and more directly involved in this proxy war against Russia in Ukraine, in the words of Boris Johnson, to try to save Western hegemony, well, the US Congress has approved sending $61 billion in additional military aid to Ukraine, and they also approved military aid to Israel to help it carry out war crimes in Gaza and ethnically cleanse indigenous Palestinians. And it also includes military aid for separatists in China's Taiwan province, where the US is trying to start another war. So here we see how the US continues to oppose peace around the world, fueling more and more war with, again, tens of billions of dollars. And by the way, I should point out that it's estimated that in order to make higher education completely free with no tuition in the US, it's estimated that it would cost $58 billion in the first year it is implemented. And the US is sending $61 billion now in addition to the previous aid it's already sent to Ukraine to fuel this war, fighting to the last Ukrainian in order to weaken Russia. And the cheapest free college program in the US would cost around $28 billion the year it's first implemented, which is half of what the US is now sending Ukraine again to fuel this war to protect Western hegemony. So that really says what the priorities of Western governments are. It's not providing social programs, healthcare, education, infrastructure, investment, social services, you know, better social security for retired people. No, that's not their priority. Their priority is waging these imperial wars in order to maintain their hegemony, to continue dominating the world and exploiting the global South, the labor and the resources of workers in the global South. On that note, I'm going to conclude here. I'm Ben Norton. This is Geopolitical Economy Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Please like and subscribe, and I will see you next time.